Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We've got a real great lineup of guests in store. First, we're speaking to Kim Otis. She is an entrepreneur coach. We're then talking to James Connolly. He's actually speaking to us from Japan, and we're talking about the liberal jungle that's out there. We're talking to Mike Maloney. Mike is going to talk about investing in gold and silver and hard metals. We're also speaking to Chris Gogos. Chris is a personality profiler, or maybe a fortune teller. I'm really not quite sure. And finally, we're talking to Gail Lawley. Gail is a senior citizen expert on living and on choices for senior citizens, something we all are probably going to have to face someday. Stay tuned. I know you're going to really enjoy the show.
Yeah! Now I'm in the blogosphere, now I'm in the Twitterverse. Fans get so immersed, but I'm a nerd forever. I'm the new Zuckerberg, and since my website, I've been cooking dough like a chef serving kilobytes. Used to be the basement, back at my mom's place. Building web traffic so that we could sell an ad space. Make way for the one-man businesses. Bailouts finished with white-collar criminals. New Sega Genesis, entrepreneur. Time making big plans to dominate the online. Yeah, I'm on YouTube. This is one man sharing Google revenue with songs on my webcam. Science is the new art, databases day to day. Keep spreading sheet smarts, hustle, make the data pay. I could be in Vabbywag plus Geekology. Tell from my avatar that I'm most definitely
muted.
We have Kim Otis on the line. Kim is a very interesting lady. She's an MBA. She's a founder of Frame of Mind Coaching. And we're going to talk about the entrepreneurial mindset for success. I myself have an entrepreneurial mindset. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, you have quite a remarkable and wonderful resume. And tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, right now I coach individuals, a very specific kind of profile. I coach people who are really very driven and who are kind of headstrong and determined to succeed no matter what it takes. I coach people who are very driven and who have a very strong vision for themselves and what they're looking for and what they'd like to see for themselves in their lives.
That is wonderful. What prompted you to go into this type of business and to launch the Frame of Mind Coaching?
Here's what I realized. I realized that a lot of people have goals, but a lot of people know what to do to achieve their goals. They're just not doing it. And the question came to me is why? What's stopping people from really going for it or really achieving their goals? People have big dreams, they have big visions, but something prevents them from going for it. And what I started to understand is the way they think and their belief structures really, really interfere with their ability to take the actions required to succeed. And so I'm really interested in mindset.
Yeah, you also have to be realistic. I mean, you can have all these lofty goals and be all over the place, but you really, I think, have to focus in an area that is achievable.
Well, realism is an interesting topic. So sometimes being realistic slows you down. Sometimes getting rid of being realistic allows you to achieve things that are far beyond your own expectations.
So if I want to go to the moon, I can do that.
Well, people have gone to the moon, and I guess the person who thought of it maybe wasn't being very realistic at the time. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Sometimes being realistic is just a limitation.
Okay, but I think you have to stay focused, don't you?
Well, staying focused doesn't mean that you can't be a big dreamer. So you can really be focused on that one specific dream. So focus and having lofty visions aren't in contrast or in combat with one another. They kind of go together, actually. And the more focused you are, the easier it is to reach those bigger goals.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what I'm trying to say is you have to be realistic in your goals. I mean, it's okay to, like, every day my grandson, he's 22 years old, he's ready to start law school, but he calls me every day with some harebrained idea. And I said, you know, you got to just find the direction and stick to it.
Well, that's the thing, right? If he's coming up with a new idea every day, it sounds like he's not really committed to that one idea. His vision about one idea isn't something that he's attached to or committed to or very, very passionate about. And so what I'm interested in is, what is that one idea, that one thing that you want to achieve that you're super passionate about that you can't see yourself living without? That's what I'm interested in.
That's good. And on the contrast to that, I myself have found that I can start a lot of different things, and 9 out of 10 of them could be failures, but the one that's successful is the only one that matters and the one people think about.
Well, and to be honest, failing a bunch of times kind of leads you to success eventually, right? So, you know, a lot of people ask me, what really is the key to success? And I will say this, that it's when people have a higher degree of emotional resilience. In other words, when they're after a failure, when they're able to stand up and take that failure and do something with it, they're much more likely to succeed than other people.
Now, I know you believe in journaling.
Yes.
Tell us about journaling and how that can help speed up your process.
Well, journaling, if you look at a lot of the really super successful people in the world, they've always engaged in some form of writing something down, writing their vision down, writing their emotions down, writing their ideas down in some format or another. You've often heard of business entrepreneurs who sat down at a restaurant and scratched out their ideas on a napkin. Well, that is a form of journaling. It's writing down your ideas.
Right.
Sometimes your ideas interfere with what you're trying to achieve, and sometimes your ideas can crystallize and help you move forward. So journaling is the expression of what you're thinking, you know, in the present, and that thought can be stuff that's getting in your way, stuff that's frustrating you, stuff that's worrying you or making you feel heavy, down, depressed, whatever it is. But journaling can also be the propelling of an idea, the crystallization of an idea, or the ability to take an idea and really give it shape and structure and help you move forward towards it. What's really interesting is you kind of need both forms of journaling to get to the other side.
That makes a lot of sense. And Kim, can you tell us how our listeners can find out more about this Frame Mind coaching? And do you have any special offers for our audience?
Absolutely. If you go to frameofmindcoaching.com, one of the things we like to do is we like to give people a flavor or a taste for what coaching would be like. And so we give them a 6-day coaching experience, and they're literally matched up with a real-life coach who takes them through 6 days of coaching.
That's better than eHarmony.com.
Better than eHarmony.com. And so they journal
with that creepy
with
old man.
That's right. And there's dialogue that happens back and forth for the 6 days. And, of course, the idea is test us out. If you like us, keep going. But it's free, and what we find is that people really, really move forward just in 6 days.
Well, I think that's wonderful because it gives some person a chance to try it and see if it makes sense. And then if it does, they can commit. You can make a little money, and they can make a lot of money if they succeed.
That's right. And, well, it's not only about money, right? But what we find is they get a lot happier, that's for sure.
I think that is wonderful. Kim, once again, tell us how they can find your website and how they can go to it.
It's www.frameofmindcoaching.com.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking to Kim Otis, www.frameofmindcoaching.com, right?
That's right.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I'm speaking to James Connolly. James has written the book, The Modern Liberal Jungle, A Guide for Americans. I think we certainly do have a liberal jungle out there today. James, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for asking me to come.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And you're talking to me from Japan right now.
Yes, I'm in Japan. It's at night. Yep.
Well, it's the morning here. What are you doing over there?
Oh, I work for the Department of Defense, and I'll be here for a couple more years before I return to the United States. I'm a psychologist.
Well, that's wonderful. And so you're helping. Do you speak Japanese?
Yes, I do. I graduated from a Japanese university years ago.
Now, tell us about the modern liberal jungle. I think we certainly have that today, and a lot of liberal bias. Tell me what your book is about and what your feelings are.
Oh, the book was written for the purpose of providing, as is in the subtitle, a guide for Americans who are dealing on a daily basis with liberals. And rather than look at specific things that are happening in the news, they change all the time. It is about how liberals think, how they became the way that they are today, their history, and the tactics that they use. And that's the first half of the book, and the second half is the conservative response, and it's what conservatives are all about, what they believe, and how to respond.
Liberals, to me, is kind of a new definition of socialism.
Yes, ultimately, it is. I don't know if that's the term to use, socialism. There's statism, there's progressivism, and others. But ultimately, the central theme that I believe that characterizes modern liberalism is deferring everything to the central authority. In America, it's the federal government, but in other countries, there'd be other central authority.
So we're creating a nanny state.
Yes. Basically, if you ask liberals about their policies, one will see that they want, usually through the courts, but through the federal government too, they want to defer everything to Washington, D.C., not to the states and local authorities and towns, or even to the families and churches and communities, but to the federal government. I think that's the underlying danger.
And you mentioned the courts. I mean, I think the federal court system all the way up through the Supreme Court has really become lawmakers, which they're not supposed to be, but that's what I see today.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Exactly. I totally agree with you on that. They're making the laws. It should be to determine whether the laws are that are enacted, if they're constitutional or not, but they're creating new laws.
That's right. So they've really totally circumvented Congress and the whole system of lawmaking, and they are making the laws today.
Yes.
Which is, Obamacare is a perfectly good example of that.
Yes, yes.
And what can we do about this? What should people do to try to protect themselves and to try to change this horrible system? I don't see any way to change it right now.
We have to keep speaking up. We have to keep trying. We can't give up. And the main thing that conservatives need, and the whole country really needs to be focusing on, is keep bringing people back to the founding principles. Ask all the time, ask, how does that relate to our founding principles? What is in the Constitution that supports this new program or principle? And with Obamacare, for instance, there wasn't really much about the principles themselves. It was more to do with economics. Well, can we save money? Is it good for the people who don't have money? This kind of thing. But nothing to do with the role of government and the constitutionality of it was not really dealt with very much.
Well, I agree with you completely. You know, everyone has, I don't think we even have to go back to the founding fathers, go back a couple generations or one generation. But today people have this entitlement mentality and they're just entitled to everything. They don't have to work for it. You've got it, we should have it. I mean, that's what you hear today.
Well, that's one of the tactics that the liberals will use. If they can get something considered a right or an entitlement, if it's a right or entitlement, the government has to support it. The government has to fund it. So we hear about a decent standard of living. We have a right to a decent standard of living. If that ever became a right, it would mean then the government is obliged to be sure financially everybody has a decent standard of living.
I think everyone has the right to a cell phone now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Obama's going to pay my mortgage. Obama's going to pay my rent. Obama's going to give me a cell phone.
Well, for an extra, I think it's an extra $17 a month, you can get texting and phone messages, too.
Well, isn't that entitlement? I mean, they should not have to pay that $17. Well, James, can you tell us about how folks can read your book and learn more about it? Because I think it's something very important that everyone out there really needs to learn and read.
Yes, it's on Amazon.com, and I also have a website. It's called liberaljungle.com, and on that would be excerpts from the book, some information about me, and how to buy the book, the link to Amazon, and also a list of associations and groups that I think people might be interested in looking at or joining, so they can get a lot of information.
It seems like the problem, though, every time people stand up and try to do something, they get a pretty bad rap and some pretty bad PR.
That's what I emphasize in the first part of the book, is the liberal attacks and on people. And the big ones are accusing you of something. You're a racist. You have emotional problems is the big one. You don't care about certain types of people. You're an elitist. You only care about big business. You're a Bush supporter. It goes on and on.
Just tries to make you feel guilty.
Yes. Yep. You're guilty. And that is the key to their intimidation. It's really that a form of bullying in which a person then becomes afraid. I don't want to sound like I don't care or I'm not interested in children or the poor, so people back down pretty quickly.
Very interesting. Again, we're speaking to James Connolly, and I think everyone should really learn this. You need to see his book. It's The Modern Liberal Jungle, A Guide to Americans. And I know it's real late at night, so I want to thank you again for coming on the show, James.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Everyone wishes for silver and gold. How do you measure its worth? Just by the pleasure it gives here on earth. Silver and gold, silver and gold, mean so much more when I see. Silver and gold decorations.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a very intelligent and informative guest online, Mike Maloney. Mike is going to talk to us about the economy and, in particular, investing in precious metals, gold, silver, etc. Mike, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what you do and what you're representing.
Well, I have two companies. I've got GoldSilver.com, recently we've launched HiddenSecretsOfMoney.com. It's all wrapped around a free online video series that is designed to give people a compass to navigate the economic storms that lie ahead. If you learn about some basic monetary history, how history repeats, you can sort of get that compass, because if something has happened 100 times in the past and has always had one result, and you see the same thing happening again, you can bet that it's probably going to have the same result again.
Well, what's happening now? Is gold still a good investment, or is it too expensive?
I think gold is absurdly cheap right now, actually.
Really?
If you consider the fact that gold was $850 in 1980, so you're talking 33 years ago, it was $850. It's only $1,300 today. Silver was $50, and it's $23 right now. So it's selling at half the 1980 price.
Well, that was kind of when the hunts were pushing it up, wasn't it?
The hunts added at most 75 cents to a buck to the price of silver.
Well, that was it?
Really the public changing their preference from gold towards silver, as gold became what was perceived to be too expensive to the common man once it passed $400 an ounce. You have to realize it was just $35 just 8 years earlier. So $400 an ounce seemed really expensive to them back then. But you have to realize, since gold was $850, they have created about 10 times more currency on this planet. So $8,500 would be, for gold to be in a bubble, $8,500 would be more of the relative price.
And very interesting. So, I know we're printing money that's worth nothing.
Exactly. There's only two types of currency that you can't print, and those currencies are real money, gold and silver.
And maybe oil.
Well, oil isn't really a currency, but you can't print oil. It's a great investment, yes.
So your website, goldandsilver.com?
GoldSilver.com.
What a great name. How'd you get that domain?
Money.com.
My God, that's got to be great. So you are actually selling investments in gold and silver?
We do. We deliver gold and silver bullion to people's doors. We can put it in a retirement account, or we can open up storage accounts for customers at Brink's Security in vaults all over the world.
That's amazing. And So what do you think people should be looking for today? Because we're in such a terrible economic crisis now. Well, what should they do? Should they buy real estate? Should they buy hard assets, metals? What do you think?
Well, I don't tell people, I don't give advice. But what I do is I do tell people what I do. And what I do is I have gotten rid of all of my paper assets. I no longer hold things like stocks and bonds. Real estate has just gone into the greatest bubble in history, and it has not visited undervaluation yet, which it needs to do. It's required for the free market to clear out all of the excesses. So I don't hold any real estate right now. What I have been doing for the last decade is accumulating gold and silver, and I continue to accumulate gold and silver. There will come a day where you want to sell that gold and silver and move into some other undervalued asset class. But right now, I believe that everything else is overvalued compared to gold and silver.
All right, Mike. Well, you've given us some very good insight. And again, can you give everyone your website or your phone number and how they could contact you?
Well, the websites are goldsilver.com and hiddensecretsofmoney.com. And if they go to Hidden Secrets of Money, they will find a wealth of information, and it's all free.
All right. So again, it's hiddensecretsofmoney.com or goldsilver.com, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. And we've been talking to Mike Maloney. And Mike, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Chris Gogos. Chris is a very interesting guy. He is a personality profiler, and he forecasts the future. In fact, he has a web-based, subscription-based website that offers personal development services along this line. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's really good to have you here. Tell me what profiling people on how you do this.
Sure. Well, I have basically three approaches, but the one that I really cut my teeth on, so to speak, over the years is a type of alpha numerology where I analyze the name and the birth date. And simply with those two pieces of identification, basically from an individual, I learned how to create these quite comprehensive charts. And they've been compared to astrological readings, but really it's the more nuts and bolts part of a profile.
That's fantastic. You're a fortune teller.
You know, one of my friends used to say to me, you're a digital fortune teller. And I'd say, no, not really. I'm more like a mathematician in one sense, because what I'm doing is I'm pulling out the math from the name and the birth date, and I'm subjecting it to a whole bunch of calculations, right? So there's a lot of dry calculations.
So you use computer programming to do this?
In the old days, I did it all manually. Now I have some utilities that I've created that help me speed up some of the calculation, because to me, where I really want to go is the interpretation part, like as quickly as possible, because to me, that's where all the real info is. That's where all the rich tapestry of all the meaning.
That's fascinating. How long does it take for you to prepare a profile like this?
Well, in the old days, to do a custom profile, it used to take me about 45 minutes to an hour simply to do the calculations, and then I'd have to take some time to reflect and contemplate and look at the patterns, because to me...
So if I gave you my birth date, you'd be able to find out that I'm a pervert.
what I would basically pull out of there is... because I did a little look-see just on the name. Because I don't know your birthday. We've never met before this telephone call.
Okay.
So when I just looked at the regular name that you use, I did not use or even know your original birth name, but just on the regular name,
yes,
I would say right off the top, you've probably got an overabundance interest in things that relate to art. So you're very passionate, this kind of thing. There's always been an ambitious nature to your character. But the areas that I think need to be more taken into account is your more secretive side. And I say that respectfully. A lot of people are very good at keeping a low profile. And it's quite interesting that you're actually a show host, because you're allowing a public side of your personality to kind of emerge. But by and large, there's a introspective side to you that you've probably been learning about gradually as you've matured. And that's the part that's probably...
I don't think I've ever matured. I might be old, but I don't think I've ever matured.
to me, introspection is something that people like you learn gradually over time. And that's really the area that I think you're going to discover your most rewards over time. And I've also discovered that people kind of tend to grow into them, the various aspects of themselves over time. And I said this one thing to a new client the other day. He's 22, and I said to him, listen, I'm almost double your age, and I'm giving you this reading, because he was going to contemplate a very serious move in his life, a change in career, this kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I suggested he take a little bit of time to just reflect and contemplate about a major decision, because at 21 years of age, most human beings, male and female, come out of a sense of spiritual amnesia. I know it sounds like a corny, weird phrase.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, they make some very critical decisions around that time, and a little bit of introspection, a little bit of a sabbatical is just what's needed to kind of get you more integrated before you make any major decision. But anyway, if I had your full name and birth date, I could do a more complete profile. But I also have something that's almost opposite to a custom profile.
What is that?
And that's the online assessment test that you yourself do at your convenience.
Now, how can people take advantage of that, Chris? How do they get that?
Well, the most obvious thing right off the top is people learn to, you know, when we're in school and the teacher puts out a surprise pop quiz and everyone goes, oh my God, we didn't study this, we don't know what, you know, and everybody panics. This is the same kind of thing, but what is being asked of you is some pretty fundamental, simple questions. And by the end of the test, what you discover is your already knowing many things about yourself, but until like an outsider or a stranger kind of just asks you a bunch of bullet point questions, you may not be focused enough otherwise. Like, you need to have a classroom setting, but it's just an online test. But when you're done that, the biggest takeaway that people get is they reconnect to what they already are. Because, see, motivations, if you don't know that most fundamental answer in your life that pertains to what you are motivated by, then you are like a floating boat out in an ocean with no rudder and no direction. You're just sitting there bobbing around on the water. So the first thing people take out of the test is motivations. What is it that I am motivated by? Because to me, what I've discovered in the years that I've been doing these kinds of reports, whether custom or the test, that's the first thing that gives people a type of
It's very, very interesting. Now, how can people take this test? Do you have a website or way to get that?
Yes. If they go to alchemyworld.com, that will pretty much be the entry point of learning more about the service and also the approach. I've had to modify the website, alchemyworld.com, to suit some of the needs of the clients. And what I've been discovering over the last little while is a lot of the types of clients and subscribers that I've been taking on, they don't want a lot of noise or extra things to look at. They simply want to go and do what they got to do and communicate with me and get the service initiated. And then we always do follow-ups afterwards. But by and large, alchemyworld.com will elucidate more on the nature of the service.
Very, very interesting. Well, folks, we've been speaking to Chris Gogos, and as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go get profiled at alchemyworld.com. That's alchemyworld. Chris, you've been very, very interesting, and I think it's fascinating what you're doing.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Let me...
Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Can identify with some of this, and if so, Ira Stanfill dedicated this song to you. I walked into church with my cane in my hand, and I found me a place in the pew. I shuffled a lot and I struggled a lot. That's something we older folks do. I put on my glasses and I opened the book, and I struck into song with a crowd. I didn't sing pretty and I didn't sing bad, but oh boy, I sure did sing loud. Well, I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my life. I've got a big grin all over my chin, 'cause I'm having the time of my life. The specialty singers arrived on the scene, and I knew we were in for a blast. They sat up their amps and their flickering lamps, and I wondered how long it would last. The music was good, but we stood and we stood. But I had a few tricks that I played. When the music got loud, I just stood up with the crowd, and I turned my hearing aid down. Well, I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my life. I've got a big grin all over my chin, 'cause I'm having the time of my life. The preacher was preaching in monotone voice. His eloquence flowed by the hour. So I took the time to survey all the crowd, and I counted every hat with a flower. The sermon was dull, so I slumped in my seat, 'cause I'd heard it since I was a pup. He thought we were captives to listen all day, but I found I could sleep sitting up. Well, I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my life. I've got a big grin all over my chin, 'cause I'm having the time of my life.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Gail Lawley. Gail is going to talk to us about senior citizens and choices we have to make with our family or with our elders, like me. We're going to have to find out what about senior living and what would be the best choice. Gail, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now tell me, what kind of choices do people need to make?
Okay, well, my book is called It's Your Move, Choices for Senior Living. And I started this because I had a relative that I helped get in a retirement home. And when she got there, we found out they didn't have cable TV.
How tragic.
And it wasn't on my list. And since then, I've had friends that have gone into retirement homes, and I wanted to find out why. The choices you have are to stay at home and hire help, or to have someone live with you. You can go live with your children.
God
you
forbid.
You can go into a retirement facility. I bought a one-bedroom townhouse, and my son said, "You do know that so your mother can never live with you." But people don't want to think about this. And then beyond going into like an independent living or an assisted living, there are also what they call continuing care retirement communities, or CCRCs. And
yes,
that takes you from independent living, basically, to the grave. What I found is people don't think about this. Recently, I tutor people on computers, and I had a client's son call me because his mother is in a retirement community. She's about to run out of money, and they won't keep her when she runs out of money.
Of course not.
It never occurred to him to think about that when they chose the place where they moved her.
Now, if you're in a nursing home, I imagine there's certain kind of assistance and aid that you can get.
No, there's not.
No?
I mean, you go on state aid and you get put out of these other facilities. They'll point you towards some, but they won't keep you unless that is written in your contract. That's one of the things I stressed in my book.
Very interesting.
You really need to know this ahead of time. You don't want to wait till the last minute.
I made a mistake personally with my own mother, and she needed to be with someone, and I really should have put her into one of these independent living facilities. She fought me, and instead I built a house, and I hired a woman to stay with her. But I know some other people that are in these independent facilities, and they're really nice. I mean, they have all kinds of activities, and I know she would have enjoyed it a lot better. It was a mistake I think I made.
They do, and the other thing I found, people don't know that there's something called adult daycare. So you can have them picked up and taken to this place, and they have activities, and they go on field trips. One of the problems with staying in your own home is the socialization.
Yes.
Think about it. You're 85. How many of your friends are still alive? How able are you to get out and do things?
You know, my own mother was very sharp, even though she was old, and she loved to gamble. And I took her for the day to New Orleans, and I sat her at the poker table at Harrah's, And all these guys that hang out every day in the poker room thought they'd clean this old lady, and she ended up cleaning them all.
I love it.
Yeah, she was pretty good. And then I took her to Las Vegas. We used to play a lot of tricks on each other, you have to understand, growing up. And she was very sharp. She used to be an actress. And I took her to Las Vegas, and I had made tickets. It was 1 week after 9/11. So I figured there'd be some heightened security at the airport. And you cannot believe the weird things I put in her carry-on bag. All kinds of sexual toys and condoms. And I filled her bag up with stuff. And she was really sharp when they opened it at the airport. She said, I'm just carrying this for my son because he's embarrassed.
she was sharp.
She was good.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, back to what you're doing. Tell me more about your book, and because it's really very interesting, and I think it's really important for people, because we're all going to have family that gets old at some point.
Well, we do, and I spoke to a doctor on a plane yesterday, and he deals with a lot of geriatric people in Green Valley, which is south of Tucson. And he said one of the big problems is that he sees people trying to be a caretaker for the other one, and they really don't have the capabilities to be a caretaker.
Well, you could do what I did. I hired a 40-year-old. I married a 40-year-old.
Oh, okay.
So I have my built-in caretaker.
Well, as a man, you can do that. As a woman, I think I'd have a little more trouble.
Possibly.
Finding a 40-year-old. And people don't look at what it takes if they do run out of money. I'm still trying to get a clear answer in Arizona about whether my house will count as an asset if it's in a trust, or do I have to take it out of a trust so that if I need to go on low income, one of the laws here is that I can keep my house.
There are things you could do. I can tell you from my own personal knowledge, and you need an elder attorney that knows how to set up a series of trusts, and that can be done.
And again, that depends on the state.
Yes, it does.
Because I have a friend that's gone through this, and she has not found a trust yet that will cover her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my brother lives in Pennsylvania, and he argued with me. He said, Medicaid will take care of you here in Pennsylvania. And I said, the rules are state by state.
So you need to sell your house and move to Pennsylvania or Florida or someplace where you can do this.
Well, the costs also vary all over the place. That was one of the things I have on my website is a cost comparison. It's from Genworth.com. You can pick a state and you can pick a future time, and it will give you an idea of what your costs will be.
That's very important. Gail, what you're talking about is so important. Even though I've been making some jokes with you, it really is important. Can you tell the folks out there how they can learn more about you, what you're doing, your book, if you have one, so they can learn more about this? I think it's really important for people to know.
Well, my book is on Amazon, and it's on Kindle, and it's on Barnes & Noble. But it's called It's Your Move, Choices for Senior Living. And unfortunately, every mover and every physical therapist in the world chose It's Your Move as a title. So if you go looking for it, you need to look for Gail, G-A-I-L, Lawley, L-A-W-L-E-Y. And on my website, movechoices.com, I have a 15-minute video that tells you more about this, where more resources are. That was one of my goals, was to provide resources for people because they don't even know where to begin to look. When I started looking at this, all I found were books that told me about the situation with their relative,
right,
how it was for their relative, and that kind of thing.
But you give them answers to their problems.
Pardon me?
You're giving the people answers and what to do.
Well, I'm giving them checklists.
Or
the
choices.
Book has got 33 lists in it, and these are the things you need to look at when you're considering a place. I have one friend whose sons chose the place for him, and the one thing he really wanted was to have a hot breakfast every day, bacon and eggs.
Uh-huh.
The place they chose never serves a hot breakfast.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. And that's the other thing I found, is that if you can involve the older person in the decision, they're much happier when they move.
Well, Gail, I thank you so much for coming on my show, and you've really been very enlightening. And again, could you tell us your website?
The website is movechoices.com.
Movechoices.com. Everyone, I think you need to go there because it's important. You are going to be faced with this, pretty much all of us are, at some point in your book, is It's Your Move, Choices for Senior Living. Again, we're speaking to Gail Lawley. Gail, thank you so much for coming on the show.
And thank you so much for having me, Stuart.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to end this show on a high note, on kind of a highbrow note. We're going to play a beautiful song, one that warms my heart, one that touches my soul, and I'm sure will do the same for you. Please stay tuned for Macaron Chacaron.
Oh, yeah, sales on your macaron. Yeah, macaron, no, oh, chacaron, 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 chacaron.
Until we meet again, adios, au revoir, I'll be the same.